The following is a closed circuit advisory and not necessarily for air. Here's our producer, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
It's been close to a year since we last issued a call for listener support. At that time, you were all so generous, and there was no need for us to do so. That is until now. The problem is that over the past 3 or 4 months, donations have dropped to a trickle. Because of this, we find ourselves in the position where we cannot pay the outstanding bills that came due in April, and those for May will soon be showing up. Simply said, Amateur Radio Newsline needs your financial support right now to keep these weekly newscasts coming your way. The easiest way to make a donation is to go to our website, www.arnewsline.org, and click on the PayPal button. Or you can send your support by paper mail to Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Whichever way you choose, the all-volunteer staff here at Amateur Radio Newsline says thank you. We also promise to do our very best to keep you informed of the news that you need to know about our wonderful world of amateur radio, like we've been doing for the past 37 years. I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Now, this week's newscast.
Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1965, with the release date of Friday, May 15th, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Amateur Radio responds as another killer earthquake hits Nepal. Radio France International heard splattering on 40 meters. Thailand's military to keep 50 to 54 megahertz. Ham radio numbers fall and rise in Germany. And a look back at the history of the Dayton Hamvention. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1965, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here's Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Another major earthquake hit a remote mountain region of Nepal on Tuesday, May 12th, killing at least 76 people while triggering landslides and toppling buildings less than 3 weeks after the nation was ravaged by the worst quake in decades. Ham radio, which was winding down its operations, has been reactivated, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
The 7.3 magnitude tremor was centered midway between the capital city of Kathmandu and Mount Everest. Information was slow to reach Kathmandu after Tuesday's quake, but officials expected the death toll to rise as reports arrive of people being tracked under the rubble. Amateur radio emergency nets are reported to have again been activated on 14.205 and 14.215 megahertz. Greg Mossop, G0DUB of RayNet in the UK, posted that the planned response of the American Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS service, with 9N1SP is now in place should support be required. However, there is still a large international disaster response structure in the country from the earlier event. This information was confirmed by Colin Wilson of 9N1 Emergency, who wrote that 14.215 has been activated as a secondary frequency. Stations wishing to assist should call the net control on 14.215 megahertz and not on 14.205 megahertz. 14.205 is reserved for actual emergency transmissions only. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I'm in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
Experts say the April 25th quake caused extensive structural damage even in buildings that did not topple, but many could be in danger of future collapse. The latest Region 1 International Amateur Radio Union Monitoring System newsletter carries a report that Radio France International on 7.25 megahertz has been producing strong splatter down to 7.185 every evening, about 2100 UTC. Wolfgang Hedel, DK2OM, is the Region 1 coordinator for the service. He says that he has been informed the German Department of Post and Telecommunications, which in turn sent an official complaint to France. Peter Jost, HB9CET, the vice coordinator, confirmed Hedel's observation. DK2OM says that on April 28th at 0900 UTC, he found a strong Russian noise floor centered on 14.120 MHz with an S9 plus 40 dBs. The width of the signal covered from 13.960 to 14.260 MHz and later. believed to be located in Moscow, and was disturbing Nepali emergency communications on 14.205 MHz upper sideband. More is on the web in the PDF format at tinyurl.com/intruder-watch-spring-2015. Thailand's military appears to have successfully defended its right to the 6-meter band for national security purposes. This during a recent public hearing on the revised telecommunications and broadcasting spectrum master plan put forth by the Thai National Broadcasting and Telecommunications Commission, or NBTC. Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, has more.
Under the original master plan proposal, the 50 to 54 megahertz band was to be redesignated for use by radio amateurs in Thailand. However, the NBTC has not allowed hams to use the spectrum, given continued protests from the army. Jackery Hangantrom, KS1FVL, is the president of the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand. He is quoted as saying the 50 to 54 megahertz band was an international allocation for radio amateurs. On the other side were representatives from Thai defense agencies who said the band should be allocated to the military for national security purposes. Currently, hams in Thailand can use 144 to 146 megahertz on 2 meters, while the military uses 50 to 54 megahertz in actual emergencies or during drills. If implemented, the revised master plan will give hams in Thailand an additional megahertz by expanding the 2-meter allocation upward to 147 megahertz, but 6 meters will remain with the military. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
About 500 attending the hearing, about half of whom were Air Force, Royal Thai Army, and Royal Thai Navy personnel. The number of German radio amateurs has fallen the fifth consecutive year. This according to the country's national society, the Deutscher Amateur Radio Club. The DARC reports that as of December the 31st, 2014, there were a total of 67,468 licenses, of which 60,119 were holders of the German Class A licenses. By comparison, as of the end of 2010, there were 72,293 German hams holding the license class. That's a loss of 4,645 hams in just under 5 years. On the positive note, there's been an upswing in Germany's Class E license with its DN prefix block. At the end of 2014, there were 7,449 Class E holders. This license is issued specifically for training young people who want to enter the hobby. The 146.436 MHz D4C propagation beacon in the Cape Verde Islands has been received in the Caribbean. This over what might be a record-setting distance of 2,900 miles. A post on the D4C Facebook page says that on the May the 6th, the new beacon was heard by David Peterson, PJ4VHF, on the island nation of Bonaire. Peterson, who is a broadcast engineer with Trans World Radio Station PJB, says that the beacon signal was 519 on a Kenwood TS-2000, fed by a pair of 13-element Yagis. Bonaire is an island in the leeward Antilles of the Caribbean Sea. Together with Aruba and Curaçao, it forms the group known as the ABC Islands, located off the northern coast of South America near the western part of Venezuela. At the other end of Cape Path Verde, officially the Republic of Cabo Verde, is an island country spanning the archipelago of 10 volcanic islands in the central Atlantic Ocean. Located 350 miles off the coast of western Africa, they cover a combined area of slightly over 1,500 square miles. The Cape Verde beacon was installed by the Monteverde Class Contest Team D4C, and more about this is online at tinyurl.com/D4C-Cape-Verde. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W8BI repeater serving the Hamvention city of Dayton, Ohio. Amateur radio aided in the rescue of a family of five on Sunday morning, May 10th. This after being stranded overnight on the Carson National Forest south of Taos, New Mexico. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has the details.
According to a report in the Taos News, the family's truck got stuck Saturday evening, May 9th, after sliding off a forest road approximately 10 miles east of New Mexico State Road 518. Taos Amateur Radio Club President Brian Williams, NB5R, who was helping coordinate rescue efforts, said that no one was injured, but a man left the truck to find help and grew dehydrated after several hours walking in the wet, freezing weather. The man returned to his family but was reportedly displaying symptoms of hypothermia. The family had called for help around midnight and remained in contact with authorities. They were found shortly before 10:30 a.m. the following morning. I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD reporting.
Taos County Sheriff deputies coordinated the rescue. They were joined by New Mexico State Police, Taos County Emergency Medical Services, and members of the Taos Search and Rescue, as well as Taos Amateur Radio Emergency Services. As storms swept into central Oklahoma on Wednesday, May the 6th, radio amateurs acting as skywarn storm spotters were busy confirming observations and reporting effects of the damaging storms. The severe weather made a direct hit on the community of Bridge Creek, just 30 miles southwest of Oklahoma City. Along with damaging homes, the power grid was also impacted by the storms. The Bridge Creek Volunteer Fire Department lost power, and the backup system did switch on. Matt Garcia, N5PTV, was able to use a portable generator and restore the radio communications. Mike Rocky, KE5EQC, is the vice president of the Aeronautical Center Amateur Radio Club. He said that hams were requested by the Southern Baptist Convention Disaster Relief Association to assist in the communications effort in the Bridge Creek area. Oklahoma Section Emergency Coordinator Mark Conklin, N7XYO, said the notifications went out to all of the ARIS-OK registered amateur radio operators to help fill the need. Amateurs were operating from repurposed travel trailers, which were a partnership between the Grady County Sheriff's Department and the Aeronautical Center Amateur Radio Club. The trailers equipped with a pair of VHF-UHF mobiles, a high-frequency multiband radio, and emergency power. It can also be configured with public safety radios for Sheriff Department use. Bridge Creek was one of several communities hardest hit by the F5 Twister in a deadly May 3, 1999 tornado outbreak. Planning officials in Riverside, California, say that they're taking a second look at an amateur radio tower and antenna that has stirred up a bit of controversy. This after being installed in the backyard of a historic neighborhood home. The tower and antenna belong to Paul Brayman, W2PIR. After getting a city permit, Brayman installed a tower to replace a 42-foot pole in his garage about 2 years ago after he moved to Riverside from Lake Arrowhead. The motorized tower can extend up to 57 feet and 6 inches. Since then, residents have spoken out for or against the tower. At least a half a dozen lodged complaints with city officials and with Councilman Mike Gardner, who represents that area. They complained that the tower and the antenna on top of it detracted from the neighborhood's historic character. On April the 28th came word that the City Historic Preservation Office staff were to go in person to see the tower. And they were to talk to W2PIR about what the equipment is and if there's a way to reduce its impact on the protected historic district. Dog Park Software has announced that version 1.21 of MacLogger DXHD for the iPad has been released. MacLogger DXHD is an amateur radio application that monitors the spots from your favorite DX cluster for DXing, contesting, or casual rag chewing. It also alerts you to rare or contact band openings by looking up and displaying real-time propagation on a zoomable map. And it can also log your contacts to a super-fast SQL database. MacLogger DXHD is available from the iTunes Store. More on it is available at dogparksoftware.com. Some names in the news. First up is Civil Air Patrol's Colonel Dale E. Newell, W7ACK. Who has assumed the command of the Oklahoma Wing of the Civil Air Patrol. Newell joined the Civil Air Patrol following his retirement from the Washington Army National Guard in 1992. He holds numerous emergency services qualifications and has served in CAP search and rescue and homeland security missions. In addition, Newell, who also serves as the Amateur Radio Emergency Services Carter County Emergency Coordinator and as a skywarn storm spotter in Carter County. The change of command ceremony was held April 25th during the Oklahoma Wing annual conference. Newell replaces CAP Colonel Joe Cavett, who had commanded the wing since 2011. The ARRL North Texas Section has a new section manager. Nancy McCain, K5NLM of Fort Worth, took over the position on May the 1st. She succeeds incumbent Chris Brewer, N5GMJ, who resigned due to increased work and family commitments. McCain has been active in Ares Races and in Army and Navy MARS. She's a retired emergency management specialist and will complete the current term of office as North Texas Section Manager, which runs until March 31, 2017. AMSAT North America is seeking nominations for its board of directors to fill the seats of four directors' terms expiring this year. In addition, up to two alternates may be elected for one-year terms. A valid nomination requires either member society or five current individual members in good standing to file a nomination. Written nominations consisting of the nominee's name and call, and nominating individual names, calls, and individual signatures should be mailed to AMSAT North America, 10605 Concord Street, number 304, Kensington, Maryland, 20895-2526. Electronic nominations go by fax to 301-822-4371 or email to martha@amsat.org. The cutoff for all nominations is June the 15th. The Radio Society of Great Britain has named its Club of the Year award winners for 2014. The small club category with 25 members or less was led by St. George Academy. The large club with 25 members or more was given to London Hackspace. Separate prizes were given to each. The RSGB Club of the Year Award, sponsored by Essex, England-based amateur radio dealer Waters & Stanton. The winners were announced at the organization's recent annual general meeting in London. A documentary video about London Hackspace is at tinyurl.com/NGP319D. The Central States VHF Society Annual Conference for 2015 will be held in the Denver, Colorado metro area between Thursday, July 23rd and Sunday, July 26th. The local sponsor this year is Rocky Mountain Ham Club, with the convention venue being the Denver Marriott Westminster Hotel. This year's conference will feature technical programs, noise figure measurements, rover vehicles, and more. The featured speaker for the Saturday evening banquet is Rick Roderick, K5UR. Roderick is the first vice president of the ARRL and an avid VHFer. Conference registration, as well as a link to the conference venue for bookings, is now available online at 2015.csvhfs.org. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org, and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. AMSAT UK and AMSAT Netherlands have announced that the FunCube communications package has been selected as a major payload for the NIFI CubeSat. The mission is intended to provide Emirati students with a tool to design and test systems in space. Amateur Radio Newsline's Ralph Squalacci, KK6ITB, reports.
NAIF-1 is being developed by the Emirates Institution for Advanced Science and Technology in partnership with American University of Sharjah. It is expected that this payload will provide a large amount of valuable environmental data from space, together with a new UHF to VHF linear transponder for amateur SSB and CW communications. AMSAT will be working closely with the Emirati students in collaboration with support partner Innovative Solutions in Space BV from the Netherlands to develop this new system in time for the launch, which is scheduled to take place toward the end of 2015. I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
News of this joint venture was announced on April the 25th during the Dutch Satellite Interest Day event at the Netherlands. More information with details on frequencies and planned operation schedules will be made available as soon as they are possible. Google X Research Labs is said to be working on several new battery technologies, one of which is a solid-state power cell in the form of a thin film. Solid-state batteries could be a technology that would change our portable energy consumption with its high energy density. By using solid electrodes, solid-state batteries are much safer, and even human implant applications might be possible. In the past several years, Google has been venturing out to many other technologies that utilize batteries. Developing its own in-house battery technology could shape and mold how the energy source behaved. You can read more at tinyurl.com/Google-battery. Another shortwave broadcasting is making ready to shut down. The Bulgarian DX blog reports that International Radio Serbia is going to close all operations on June 30th after 79 years of broadcasting. Serbian International Radio currently has programming in 12 languages, including Italian and English. More than 70 employees of the station currently protested the announced termination of the operation front of the Serbian government building in Belgrade. On the air, word that Europe's Amateur Radio Portable Operators Club has announced its first joint QSO party in association with the European Radio Amateurs Organization, also known by the acronym EURAO. EURAO hold 4 casual QSO parties a year, with each one having a different theme to encourage a specific area of the hobby. This spring, the theme will be Have Fun, Go Portable. The 4S7B Sri Lanka 6-meter operation beacon that resides on 50.009 is back on the air. Located near the capital city of Colombo, 4S7B runs 25 watts to a ground plane antenna in grid square MJ96. It's a joint project of the Radio Society of Sri Lanka and the 6-meter beacon project. Reception reports are welcome, should be sent to 4S7JL at his address or email found on QRZ.com. In DX, word that DL1HRN is currently operational as 3W9HRN from Hanoi in Vietnam. His length of stay is not known, but activity is mainly CW on the HF bands. QSL via his home call sign, director by the Bureau. All QSOs are updated to Club Log. PA3FYC will be active as D44TCA from Cape Verde through May 22nd. Activity will be holiday style on the HF bands only, QSL via his home call sign, director by the Bureau. VE3IKV will be operational as C6AUX from the Malaguana Island in the far southern Bahamas Islands between June 22nd and July the 6th. Activity will be on 6 meters only using CW and sideband. QSL direct via VE3IKV. Lastly, LA7GIA will be tentatively on the air as 3C7GIA from Malabo Island between October the 10th and the 22nd. Activity will be on 80 through 10 meters. More details available in the near future. And finally this week, as we go to air, the gates of the Hera Arena have swung open for the start of the Dayton Hamvention, which is a show steeped in the history it's created. So let's take this opportunity to take a trip back in time. Since 1952, Hamvention has been sponsored by the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, and for many years, it's been the world's largest amateur radio gathering, nowadays attracting tens of thousands of hams from around the globe. According to historical information provided by the Hamvention's website, that's when John Willig, W8ACE, who in the early 1950s asked the Dayton Amateur Radio Association to sponsor a ham radio-themed convention. W8ACE wanted to have a quality show with speakers and prizes, but was turned down. Willig finally found a champion in Frank Schwab, W8YCP, later to become W8OK. Schwab was the newly elected president of the club. A meeting was held, and the DARA board allocated $100 to get started. The first organizational meeting was held in January 1952, and the Southwestern Ohio Hamvention was born. The first planning committee consisted of W8ACE, with Al Dinsmore, W8AUN, as general chairman, and several others taking on the leadership roles. The next year, the name became Dayton Hamvention and was registered as a trademark. March 22nd was the chosen date, causing a short lead time. Even so, the FCC agreed to give license exams, and Phil Rand, W1BDM, a pioneer in TVI elimination, was on the program. In all, there were 7 exhibitors and 6 forums. The first prize was a Collins 75A2 receiver that was purchased locally. Hoping for 300 visitors, the committee was amazed when over 600 showed up. But the story does not end there. In 1955, the awards program began with the creation of the Amateur of the Year. In 1964, the Hamvention moved to Hera Arena, which has been its home ever since. In the end, it's likely that the ongoing success of the Dayton Hamvention can be attributed to a few underlying values. Those being a caring group of energetic people who enjoy being on a winning team, and a team that brings the fun and excitement of the hobby to attendees who come to Dayton from around the globe to be a part of the show of shows of amateur radio. This year's Dayton Hamvention runs from Friday, May 15th through midday, Sunday, May the 17th. If you made it, we hope that you had a great time. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, a reminder that the Amateur Radio Newsline is seeking nominations for its 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award. For consideration, a nominee must have used amateur radio in some way that has benefited his or her community or encouraged technological development directly or indirectly related to communications. Nominees must be 19 years of age or younger, who reside in the United States, including Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico, or any of the Canadian provinces. The individual must also currently hold a valid United States or Canadian amateur radio license. The deadline for submitting an application is May 30th, 2015, and the decision of the judging committee is final. To obtain an application, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award in care of Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. You can also download the form in Microsoft Word's format at www.arnewsline.org/YHOTY, and then clicking on the word here and saving the file to print at a later time. Presentation of the 2015 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award will take place the weekend of August 15th and 16th at the Huntsville Ham Fest in Huntsville, Alabama. For now, with producers Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas, plus our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD in Vero Beach, Florida, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.